Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Let them eat fruit. That was the pithy response to news that the staff canteen at Manchester United is to close as part of the latest round of cost-cutting at the troubled club. The CEO, Omar Barada, told staff, "We've lost money for the past five consecutive years. This cannot continue." Let's get more on this now. I'm joined by the reporter who broke the story, Manchester football correspondent for The Guardian and The Observer, Jamie Jackson. Hello, Jamie.
Hello and good morning.
Nice to have you with us. Now, we knew that there had been cuts a couple of months ago at Manchester United. Then we were warned last week there was more to come. But this is real. It feels like bottom of the barrel stuff when you say to your staff, you can only have soup.
So basically the canteen, as I understand, it's going to close at the end of this week. Currently, you know, all staff members, there's about 800, that sort of number at Old Trafford, can go in there with their pass, get a free hot meal, tea and coffee, etc. They do charge for some soft drinks, but essentially it's all free. And yeah, that's going to go to fruit in bowls, I'm told, fruit bowls. That's at the stadium. And then at the training ground, as you mentioned there, apart from the players, it's soup and some bread, mm-hmm. as I understand it. That's what's going to happen. So as you say, it's tough times.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd agree, but listening to the management and the statement from the CEO yesterday and from Ratcliffe, the owner, there's a sense of the beatings will continue until morale improves at Manchester United.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know a lot of people there, obviously, and morale is, you know, close to zero kind of thing. It's not great. I mean, you know, on the one hand, what we're looking at, listen, if we zoom out, this is about Malcolm Glazer taking over the club in 2005, 20 years later, what all the sort of people thought at the time, you know, the debt that he loaded on the club for 500 million-ish at the time, it's now the best, well, it's over a billion really. And, you know, the club is on its knees basically through years and years of decline. Once Ferguson left in 2013, it really kicked in because you didn't have this genius manager basically being able to sort of corral the players, and they've wasted a heck of a lot in the transfer market. And it's just, you know, Ratcliffe's come in and I think he's got the right idea, but I think he's not doing it particularly in a great way. But he really doesn't care. He's a billionaire and he sees this as a way forward.
Mm-hmm. Like some of the staff impacted by the layoffs, they've been at the club for 10, 20, 30 years. I mean, you probably know the people that I'm talking about. And we hear that when they're gone, that really has a sort of an outsized impact on everybody around them.
100%. I mean, I'm lucky enough to go in and out of the club, you know, two or three times a week for the last 12, 13, 14 years. You know.
Ah, have we lost?
As people. So, you know.
Sorry, Jamie, your line just dropped there, but you are back. So, you know these people that we're talking about who've been there for 30 years and have now been told, you're gone, your job is gone.
Mm. Yeah, and it's very sad. I mean, it's like a family. You go into the club, you see them, really nice people. It makes the club, it's Manchester United, it's massive, but it actually makes it like a local club, you know, because they're so nice. And so it is a shame. I mean, you know, this is misery for people and their families. So on the one hand, you know, Ratcliffe thinks this is the right thing to do. But on the other hand, you just wonder whether, you know, all the waste on players and wages, which he will be trying to address, but that's really where the cost is coming. You know, for example, closing the canteen will save £1 million a year. That's a big saving, don't get me wrong. But Marcus Rashford, it's not his fault. He earns that in just under 3 weeks.
Sorry. Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, it really is ridiculous. But if you're operating at that level, you can't reduce the players' salaries because they'll just all leave, right?
Yeah, this is the chicken egg thing. I mean, Barada, as I understand it, said in the meeting yesterday that, you know, he pointed to other clubs who have got leaner off-field operation and they've got on-field success. So that's the model they're going to go to. Go to a more incentive-based pay thing, yeah, for players. But you're kind of right what you say there. I mean, you know, what we're talking about here is part of the wider mess that is this club. I mean, chaos is a bit strong to describe Manchester United, but it's veering towards that. There's a sort of, but at the same time, I'm told very strongly that within 2 years from now, after this, United will be able to compete in the transfer market at elite level with elite clubs, both in terms of, you know, buying players and paying them the way sort of wages we're discussing. So let's wait and see.
Okay. But I mean, the management does claim that there are much leaner clubs out there achieving greater success. Is that true?
I mean, if you look at Manchester City across town here, yeah, I mean, you would say that, you know, they are definitely in profit with regard to sales. You know, Manchester United, the last player Manchester United made a profit on is Daniel James. Dan James, he went to Leeds, and I think the profit was about 10 million. They lose money. Example, they bought Paul Pogba, then a British record, 89.5 million. He left on a free. Yeah. You know, that's just one example. So I think they can definitely sort their house out with regards to this. I think it is correct that, yes.
But, I mean, is it the case that Manchester United's support staff, backroom staff, expanded too much during the glory years? You mentioned, you know, Alex Ferguson there. His success was able to sort of cover a multitude of what was going on in terms of spending. Is that what we're saying?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, as I said earlier, if you look at the last squad, for example, that Ferguson won the title with, their last title, 2012-13, it's not an amazing squad. Obviously, you know, Robin Van Persie, Rooney, brilliant players, but it kind of, you know, it wouldn't stand up now. But the genius of Ferguson, as you basically said then, was able to marshal them or corral them into another title winner because of his sort of aura. That's kind of gone, and it's kind of fallen apart since. I mean, I've sort of seen six or seven number ones follow him, you know, Solskjaer, Mourinho, Van Gaal, big names, right? David Moyes, Naum Amarin, and they all walk into the club thinking they can sort it out. But the place is difficult to manage at the best of times. Mm-hmm. It's Manchester United. But, you know, when it's like this, without really strong leadership, which again, I go back to Ratcliffe, this is what he thinks he can bring to it. I'm not so sure. The jury's out. But yes, the staff have become bloated, and wages particularly on players that are no good. Listen, if you're a top player, Harry Kane, you know, whoever, you're worth the money. If not, you know, do not be paying Anthony, whatever it is, 150 a week and pay 80 million pounds for him. It's not his fault it costs that much. But, you know, it's another example of a waste.
But don't other clubs, this is my point to you, you know, other clubs do this and seem to get away with it and not have the problems that Manchester United have.
It depends what you mean by other clubs. I mean, you know, if you look at the sort of top three or four in the Premier League, you know, Real Madrid sort of looking on the continent is a completely different, you know, sort of beast, if you like. Mm-hmm. The problem is United are not getting the results on the pitch. So, you know, if they were spending all this, put it in a way around, if they've been champions the last couple of years, we probably wouldn't be seeing these cuts as many, right? So, you know, 450 to go in total jobs, because they would have won the title. You know, the money from that alone is hundreds of millions. But then you have the commercial, you know, spin-offs. You know, if suddenly blue chip sponsors want to pay even more money, kit deals go up. So it's all related, you see. On-field relates to off-field. And that's kind of why it is a shame, because of the mismanagement of the team on the field. And when I mean that, I don't mean that the actual managers. I mean the sort of structure around the team, you know, sort of the Woodward years, Ed Woodward years, when he was vice president of the club, and now sort of try to pick it up post that with the Glazers sort of, yeah, you know, just sort of taking so much money out of it. This has affected the product on the pitch, and that then for impact. It's taken 20 years for this to happen, right? As I said, Malcolm Glazer came in 2005 with his leveraged buyout, and we're now seeing the sort of years of decline, particularly, as I say, 12, 11 years ago when Ferguson left. It's really kicked in since then.
Mm-hmm. So it's been a problem 20 years in the making. But
yes,
it still has that massive global brand recognition, the glorious past. There are huge assets there. I suppose the question is, and you said this earlier on, we'll know probably in 2 years' time, but will this work? Will this cost-cutting work when it's engendering such bad feeling?
Yeah, I know. And the other thing just to throw in there is, you know, the next transfer market's in the summer, and they've got, at the moment, they've got zero money, you know, to operate in that. I mean, I really mean that. I mean, the last one just gone January, they brought a player called Patrick Dorgu in, who was £25 million, which is relative chicken feed. He looks a good player, but, you know, at the moment, they're going to have to do some horse trading to even do something like that. I mean, that is minor, you know, that is minuscule money in the world of elite football. So, you know, this two-year thing, That's kind of why they're doing. You know, the message I keep on getting from sort of the Ratcliffe camp, if you like, is pain now, short-term pain now, or short mid-term pain now for sort of long-term gain. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in Amarin's another, you know, the head coach is another interesting case. The results have gone south. Even he could not expect them to be so bad. So, you know, he's got to get to the end of season. You know, this 3-4-3 plays shape has not worked, etc., etc. So will they stick with him is another big question. I'm going to the game tomorrow. It's Ipswich at home. They've got to beat them. I'm not saying he's going to be sacked if they lose, but, you know, they're basically going down at Ipswich. And if you look where United are in the table, I think they're 10 points above the drop zone. They're starting to dice with a relegation fight, which, to say that about Manchester United, sounds a bit ludicrous, but it's true.
Well, and also financially disastrous, you know, on top of their existing problems. Have they got money then? If they don't have money to buy players, have they money to fix the leaky roof at the stadium?
Just about. I mean, you know, I think they've probably got some sellotape or something to sort that out. But you know, what you're saying there, you're right. You're right to highlight that is an emblem of the sort of disregard or sort of like decay of the club. But what you mentioned earlier is interesting, and you are correct with regard to the global brand. That is the thing that will allow them to rise in the end, because they do still make a heck of a lot of money. Now, I'm lucky enough to go on tour with them each summer, and it's kind of like the Beatles, if you like. You know, you go to LA, you know, you go to LA where, or America, where soccer, as they call it, is not even a top five sport, but United are known. You go to the Far East, where I've been, Australia, you know, et cetera, et cetera, all around Europe. They are massive and they make a lot of money. That's why they're not probably in more trouble, despite the fact that they've lost £300 million in the last 3 years, which is a phenomenal loss, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about the staff who, you know, you've been telling us you speak to. When you hear about that, the trips to the Far East, the trips to the United States, the amount of money they make from all of that and all the other ancillary activity, and then you're told, well, you're going to get an apple now for your lunch. It just must be sickening for them.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, this is why the reaction to this has been quite interesting, because on the one hand, you have some people say, well, I don't get a free lunch at my place. Which I understand, but, you know, not every workplace is the same. And this is Manchester United. And if you think about the amount of waste that I mentioned, or the sort of Glazers, you know, it costs £20 million a year to service the debt, for example, alone. You know, sacking Ten Hag costs them sort of £10 million, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, and it's Manchester United. They're supposed to have a bit of swagger. They're still the record champions in England, you know, 20 titles. They're supposed to have a bit of swagger, a bit of class. And this is just sort of... It just feels a little bit penny-pinching in the wrong area.
It's grim. Jamie, great to talk to you. Thanks so much. Jamie Jackson there, Manchester football correspondent with The Guardian and The Observer.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.